the coronavirus outbreak is sparking fears of a global recession.
That's because so many business activities are shutting down. I mean, we can see that across the board. If you go into a store or a supermarket or a restaurant, anywhere at the moment, people are just not out and about.
And are hospitals prepared for a surge of patients?
As one hospital executive said to us, they only have the number of beds that they have.
It's Thursday, March 12th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The coronavirus epidemic pushed U.S. and European stock markets deeper into bear market today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell more than 2,300 points, closing down 10%, and a 7% drop in the S&P 500 this morning triggered the second 15-minute halt in trading this week. Our markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar has more.
We're starting to see some really big signs of panic in markets. I mean, the worst day for stocks since Black Monday in 1987. People are talking a lot about a lack of liquidity, which means it's really hard to make trades, particularly in stocks and bonds. And that's, again, a sign that people are very worried and are concerned that the economic impact here could be longer lasting. So if it's difficult to make trades, that's why we see the Fed trying to stabilize things a bit by injecting so much money into markets. But people really want to see a coordinated fiscal response and more data on how the coronavirus is spreading in the U.S. and in other places and what people can do to combat that. So we really haven't seen almost synchronized shutdown of the economy like this, some people are saying, and that's why the declines are so severe and so fast.
There are mounting concerns that President Trump may have come in contact with the coronavirus after a Brazilian official he met with last weekend tested positive. The Trump administration says it's still working to determine who may have been exposed, but the president brushed aside concerns.
We did nothing very unusual. We sat next to each other for a period of time, had a great conversation. He's doing a terrific job in Brazil, and we'll find out what happens. I guess they're being tested right now, right? Let's put it this way. I'm not concerned.
Florida Congressman Rick Scott, one of the politicians who spent time with that official, is now in self-quarantine. The House is set to vote on a stimulus bill to help Americans impacted by the outbreak. The bill would provide for paid leave, also expand unemployment insurance, and require health insurance companies to cover diagnostic testing for the disease for free. Republicans, however, had raised objections. At a press conference Thursday morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that lawmakers need to work together.
It's about putting people and families first. So, I mean, everybody could have a complaint about this or that. I said, save it for another day. We can have an after-action review about how we got into this situation. Save it for another day.
Coming up, why economists are worried that another recession could be coming, and how hospitals are getting ready for a rush of new patients. The U.S. economy has been in growth mode for the past decade, but economists say that could be about to change. The ripple effect of the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Harriet Torrey has been talking to them and has more details. So, Harriet, we've been watching the coronavirus effect ripple from affecting tech and other supply chains in the U.S. to massively hitting industries like air travel and tourism. And a few weeks ago, we were reporting that companies were reducing their earnings expectations for the first quarter. Where are we now, and how big of an impact do economists think this is going to have on the overall economy?
The situation at the moment is undeniably very dramatic, and the U.S. and global economies do look increasingly likely to slip into recession. That's because so many business activities are shutting down. I mean, we can see that across the board. If you go into a store or a supermarket or a restaurant, anywhere at the moment, people are just not out and about. They're staying at home and they're hunkering down, and businesses are essentially doing the same thing. They're canceling business travel. They're canceling big conferences that would have generated a lot of money for local economies, for instance, South by Southwest. And there's also just an enormous amount of uncertainty when it comes to planning, inventories, stockpiles, and future activities, because it's so unclear how this is going to play out. And then, of course, on Wednesday night, President Trump announced a ban of some travel to the U.S. from Europe. That's coming already as global air traffic is falling, and all of Italy and many parts of other countries are under quarantine. So that's, a big, potentially a big hit for the airline industry. And then, of course, another thing that we're seeing is a big drop in oil prices, and that is bad news for, you know, oil producers in the U.S., energy companies.
And what are some of the key indicators that economists would be looking for?
Indicators do take some time to come out. We can't actually call a recession until several months after the fact because economic data takes time to process. We don't usually get the first read on GDP until about 6 weeks after the end of any given quarter. But there will be some initial things that people can look at for signs of whether we're really headed for a major downturn or not. So the first one of these is consumer sentiment. That's a very timely indicator. We have consumer sentiment coming out on Friday, and that will be definitely closely eyed for any loss of confidence. And then other early indicators include jobless claims. At the moment, jobless claims are, looking very healthy. There was nothing in today's report to cause any concern. But definitely in the weeks ahead, that will be, those types of indicators will be closely eyed to see if businesses are pulling back, firing people, because that could have that does send a negative signal for the economy.
The market bounced back briefly this afternoon after the Federal Reserve announced it would pump more than $1.5 trillion into short-term funding markets. And last week, the Fed lowered interest rates overnight as an emergency measure. Are economists expecting more movements like this from the Fed if this downward slide continues?
Yeah, there is definitely a lot of pressure on the Fed at the moment, and a lot of people are looking to the Fed to act further. The Wall Street Journal survey of economists that was out today suggested that, I think a very large majority of people expect the Fed's next move, to be a rate cut, with most of them expecting it to come in March, which is the meeting next week, and if not then in April.
We've seen a lot of mixed messaging from the Trump administration about the coronavirus. Harriet, how much of a role do politics play for the economy?
I think it plays an enormous role in a situation like this, in a crisis situation, because people are really looking for guidance. And a lot of companies are just saying there's an enormous amount of uncertainty and we don't really know how to react. And I think that this was compounded somewhat by, some contradictory messages that we saw perhaps coming from the health authorities and the administration. Earlier on, there seemed to be signs that the CDC and the administration were, at talking slightly at cross purposes. That appears to have changed as of last night, with the address by President Trump, who was very clear that if people are sick, they need to stay home, and also announced measures to support workers and stimulate the economy. But I think it plays an enormous role in a time like this because people look to leaders for answers.
The White House has been touting its stimulus proposals, including a cut to payroll taxes. And House Democrats have their own ideas, like paid leave for workers impacted by the virus. We heard Nancy Pelosi earlier calling for bipartisan cooperation. And we're expecting President Trump to sign a coronavirus emergency declaration to be signed later today.
Yeah, it does seem that the Congress and the administration are really really beginning to grasp the importance of taking action and decisive action. Taking action on sick pay could be very decisive because if you look at countries in Europe, even countries that have had severe outbreaks like Germany and Italy, governments there will pay you sick leave to stay at home. So you're not going to be out of pocket if you're quarantined or if you are legitimately sick and you need to stay at home for a couple of weeks. You'll continue to get a bit of money in your pocket so you don't have to, you can continue to pay bills and rent and so on. Paid leave does exist in the private sector here, but there's no federally mandated paid leave in the US. So, a big factor in preventing the spread of the virus is encouraging people to stay at home when they're sick. And that's in that. So, bringing in legislation to administer some type of paid leave could really incentivize people to stay at home and not spread the virus further.
We've been in a long economic upswing up to now. So what could an economic downturn like this mean for everyday people?
Well, of course, unfortunately, what usually happens in an economic downturn is that companies cut back on hiring and cut jobs. So at the moment, we have a hugely strong labor market in the U.S. The unemployment rate is at a 50-year low. So pretty much, anyone who wants a job can go out and get one. If the economy goes into a downturn, that could definitely change. And that, of course, will cause a lot of pain for American households and American consumers and businesses.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal's Harriet Torrey. Harriet, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Hospitals are ground zero for the coronavirus. And as the highly contagious disease has spread around the world, we've seen how different countries deal with the influx of patients. In China, the government built makeshift hospitals in less than a week. In Italy, they're full to overflowing. So what about in the U.S.? Are hospitals here prepared? Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Matthews has been checking in with them, and she joins us now. So Anna, hospitals around the world are overflowing, and now hospitals across the U.S. are bracing for the outbreak to spread here. How are hospitals in the U.S. getting ready?
The hospitals are doing a lot of things. They're trying to free up as much space as they can, and they're doing a lot of contingency planning. Some of the types of things they are considering if they have to put their contingency plans into place are things like making hospital beds that would be outside the hospital. So, for instance, the Cleveland Clinic has a contingency plan that would involve using a nearby hotel and converting that to hospital rooms.
And what challenges do researchers expect hospitals to run into as they confront the outbreak?
Researchers are concerned about a number of pressure points. One of them is ventilators, which are used to help very seriously ill patients breathe, which is something that can be a problem in COVID-19. Another potential pressure point is intensive care unit beds. Researchers say that if an outbreak here got to the level that it got to in Wuhan, which is not in any way sure that we will get there, but if we did, we would use more than the free capacity of our ICU beds by far.
I would imagine a big issue for hospitals is staffing.
Yes, another concern is staffing. This can be particularly acute in rural areas where it's already challenging to find enough physicians and nurses. If a healthcare provider is exposed to the virus and or gets sick, they can need to go into quarantine for 14 days. And obviously, if that happens to a lot of folks, a hospital can really be affected.
What are hospital officials that you've spoken to said about the equipment that they need to treat this outbreak?
Well, no one knows how bad an outbreak would be, but hospitals are definitely preparing and getting ready. But as one hospital executive said to us, they only have the number of beds that they have. So
we've seen a couple of different scenarios for how this can go in other countries. South Korea was able to contain the outbreak, but Italy has been overwhelmed. Are there any lessons that we can learn from how other countries have dealt with the pandemic so far?
What the epidemiologists tell us is that we need to intervene aggressively to stop the spread and take actions like moving towards social distancing so people aren't in large gatherings and potentially spreading the virus amongst large crowds. So tactics like that can help halt or at least delay or alleviate the spread.
And I guess the big question is, how do we get here? Why are U.S. hospitals so ill-prepared for a sudden uptick in patients?
Well, hospital capacity has been going down over the years. There's been a trend in this country of people getting more care and more procedure outside the hospitals, either on an outpatient basis and often at surgery centers. So in general, there's been pressure to reduce the hospital capacity in this country. However, in an extraordinary situation like this could potentially be, you do need capacity.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Anna Matthews with us. Anna, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, in New York, the lights will be out on Broadway tonight. The governors of New York and New Jersey have banned gatherings of more than 500 people, except in hospitals and schools, to try to halt the spread of the virus. And that includes sporting events. But it's not just in New York. Wall Street Journal sports reporter Lane Higgins says the leagues are calling games off.
So in the United States, it is the NBA, the NHL, MLB, NCAA for all sports. There's also MLS and the NFL, which is not currently in season, is canceling some events. And then pretty much every sort of league below that has made modifications as well.
And this afternoon, the NCAA announced it was canceling all remaining tournaments, including March Madness. Obviously, all of these cancellations are disappointing for fans. But for players and the people who work behind the scenes, it's their job.
Athletes are able to be paid during a period of suspension because, at least at the pro level, that's written into a lot of the collective bargaining agreements. With college athletes, as we know, they don't get paid. But for the fans, they have the option to get a full refund for their tickets pretty much across the board. And the hourly workers is where there's a lot more questions. And after the NBA said it would suspend the season, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban said that he would be looking into ways to help compensate and give some aid to some of these hourly workers that rely on NBA games for their livelihood. Because as you know, sports are a huge driver of economic activity whenever there's a game.
And that's What's News for this Thursday afternoon. If you want more updates on the coronavirus, go to our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.